I don't think it's going to get any better.
You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 35. This is Don, and with me, as always, is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Not a whole lot. Just nice Sunday evening, hanging out. Gonna spend it with you.
Aw, lovely.
It is.
You spraying off your mic over there? Is that compressed air? Or?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't have picked up, but if you didn't say anything, since I wasn't talking, I was just going to cut that out.
Oh,
but
well.
But I guess it's in there now. So.
And by cut that out, you mean leave it in anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Talk about cutting it out.
Nifty LEDs, Jeff, let's talk about Nifty LEDs.
Let's do it.
They NiftyLED.com. They have a wide selection of LEDs to pimp out your game. Free shipping over $100 or flat rate $5 shipping under $100. You get the cool French fry tray. You get great, great service and easy to navigate website. I'd also like to talk about WizardAmusement.com. They have over 50 different game-specific ball shooter mods with a contest this month. And on top of the contest this month, they have a 10% discount if you mention the Pinball Podcast when ordering. So they got a lot of cool mods over there. Thank you, Mike. And again, that's WizardAmusement.com. And I don't really feel like we ever give that much props to MezelMods.com. That's M-E-Z-E-L Mods.com. They've got over 30 different mods. From game-specific stuff like AC/DC, Wizard of Oz, Metallica, Getaway, to stuff that works on every game, like plastic protectors and all kinds of little stuff. So go check them out, MezelMods.com, and there will be links for all that stuff in our thread. So thank you, sponsors, for giving great contest items for our listeners and helping us keep the show running.
Yeah. One thing about Measle Mods is they have been extremely active at going to shows. So if you are out at one of the pinball shows, take a look around, see if they're there. They're very, very approachable and will talk pinball with you for as long as you have subject to go through. They're cool people.
See if you can get some weird acronym pronunciations out of them.
Toten.
Besides Toten, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
What have you been doing in pinball, Jeff?
Well, I am helping to get kind of an event off the ground here. Maybe we can talk about that more in a little bit. But this week, actually, it was kind of fun because my older son, Tyson, who's 5, was playing the machines a lot. And, you know, I'm noticing as I'm watching him, he's starting to cradle the ball more. He's starting to, you know, do bounce passes and stuff like that. And my wife has been sending me pictures when I'm at work of his, like, high scores, and he recognizes when he's got a new high score. And so I've just been kind of standing behind him a lot this week, letting him play, and it's been a lot of fun. Other than that, I have been taking stock of where I need to stock up on certain LEDs and what colors. And I'm still trying to avoid the infamous clown vomit machine, but I'm kind of getting more into tasteful placement of them. So, other than that, I've been cleaning the machines. I haven't done a whole lot of playing, but general maintenance, and then just watching Tyson get slowly better at pinball than I am. So.
That's all right. I can't wait for my kids to even be able to reach the flippers, nevertheless get better than I am.
Probably
won't be very soon after they can reach the flippers.
Yeah, it's Tyson's 5 now. I figure by the time he's 6 or 7, I will be trying to keep up with him. So
that's all right. He can bring home some dollars for you.
Yeah, I mean, I go to work and I come back and I can tell he's been playing, and that's not fair. Oh. I'm at work and
teach him how to shop the games.
That's what I really need to do. Get him addicted to that side of the hobby.
Yeah. He'll be huffing mill wax in no time.
Where I'll come home, he'll be crying, and he'll be stuck with his finger between a super band and a flipper bat. trying to put one on.
That would probably snap his finger in half, those super fans.
Yeah, it could.
They need to put a disclaimer on those, 18 and over.
Yeah.
You must be this strong to apply.
For mature audiences only.
Right. But. Cool. So I have a Craigslist complaint rant thing.
Not all right.
So what's it called? A Theater of Magic showed up as part of an estate sale on Craigslist last week. Uh-huh. Or this week. It was this week. And I had a vacation Bible school all week. So of all of the weeks that I had been out of work, which is the last 15 months, this is the only week where I actually have plans every day. So my dad and I called. Well, they said to text or email, so I did both, and they ignored the email, and the text said to call. Or no, the email, I'm sorry, the email did say to call. So I called, they ignored the call, and I sent a text, and they ended up texting me back and forth. We set up an appointment, yeah, come tomorrow at, I think it was 10 o'clock. I said, okay, that's fine. So I got my wife to go check it out, and my dad, who doesn't know anything about pinball, to take his truck and to come pick up my dolly, so they'd be all ready to go. I gave him cash. I said, this is how much I want to spend, because they would not say the price, and it was by appointment only. So I said, okay, well, at least I'll get first shot at it. So my dad pulls up, and I could get to the phone at VBS, so they were both calling me a bunch. But my dad got there like 9:45, and when he drove up, he saw another old guy loading the pin into the back of his van.
Oh, no.
It's like, what the hell's up with this? So he asked him, how much did you pay for it? And he said, a lot. And that was it. He didn't give his name or anything. So I said, well, I probably know. If I don't know the guy, I probably know somebody who knows who got it. So sure enough, somebody posted on our local group right after that, all right, who got the Theater of Magic? One of the local guys, his name is Tim, he got it. So I started talking to Tim, and I sent him a private message and said, since I got sniped on my appointment, I got to ask what you got it for, or if you're happy, blah, 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 how it was. Because in the picture, they only had one picture of it, but the manual was sitting on the glass, and the keys were in the coin door. So that's like two big pluses right there. That means somebody actually cared enough to keep it all together. And you couldn't really tell how good it looked. I didn't see anything bad. Usually on Theater of Magic, the mode inserts right in the middle have a really light background, like a tan background. And it gets really dirty right there because it's right between the flippers. And I could see on the picture that I could read all of them. So I said, okay, well, at least it's been clean or not played much lately. So anyway, so that was all good things. That's what made me excited. And I figured if I can get it for around $2,500, I would, which is, you know, low, but I could probably sell my World Cup soccer for somewhere around there, and I would just swap them, basically. I'd have theater instead of World Cup, which would be fine with me. I still want a Papa Duke. Anyway, so I didn't get the game. He said what he paid for it, and it was more than I was willing to pay anyway. But what happened is he and another guy both just showed up. Somehow they got the address. They both just showed up at the house, and the estate seller person or whatever, the liquidator, must have just been there and let him go at it. So he made them bid against each other.
Oh, jeez.
Which is even more of a douchey move, nevertheless selling it out from under my appointment. So it started at, I will say it started at $3,500, and it ended higher than that, which I'm not going to... I told the buyer I wouldn't say what it went for, so sorry, guys. But they ended up making a negotiation between the two of them, I'll put it that way, so that one would get it and the other one would still be happy. I'll say that. So anyway, $3,500, they went up. Which, $3,500, it ended up being a home-use-only Theater of Magic, so it is in really nice shape. So $3,500 would have been still a good deal. And, it's a great game. I like the game quite a bit. But I'm not in the market for $4,000 or more pinball machines, $4,000 pins. Anyway, so douchey Craigslist thing. It really pissed off my wife because she had left work to go check it out because she knows more about it than my dad, and I didn't want her going by herself in case something went down.
Something sketchy.
Yeah, I mean it's Craigslist. My son's crying. Anyway, so that kind of took me off. And then there was a haunted house that came up for $300. So after we had a creature on Craigslist for $200 just the week before, which ended up being legit. So once the haunted house popped up, I was like, hey, I might as well email them. And it ended up being a phishing scam.
Very good.
Yes. So that's our exciting week in Craigslist BS.
I have been willing myself not to be looking too often, just because I've mentioned recently I'm looking to buy another game, and I totally should not be buying another game right now. So, just by virtue of willing myself not to look, I've managed to miss out on the shenanigans.
Yeah, that's probably wise. I downloaded one of those apps. It's actually a paid app that's supposed to alert you when, you know, pinball pops up on Craigslist or whatever. And it just doesn't work on my phone. It works on everybody else's phone. I just happened to look right after they posted that Theater of Magic.
You're at a competitive disadvantage, Don.
I know, but I've deleted it. I've even got a new device, and nothing seems to work. I don't know what the deal is. I need to email the company.
Anyway, they owe you.
They owe me $2.99 or whatever it was.
And an apology.
And an apology. Okay. So that's our Craigslist thing. I have a league night this week. So, and I took Taylor Reese. We talked about getting IFPA certified or whatever, endorsed for our league.
Yeah.
I took his advice. I emailed Josh, and we got it. So we are, Duke City Pinball League is now IFPA endorsed.
Just for the proof, they'll let anybody in.
Yeah, definitely. it turns out the way it works is they give you a set amount of points per year, calendar year, and you delegate those points throughout the league.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, so you're not getting, you know, first place isn't 500 points or something.
Unless you win. You're like, hey, we decided that we're just going to delegate all the points to this one.
To first place, yeah. I'm definitely not going to win, but I just need to figure out how to move those around. But it's still cool. You're actually getting IFPA points. So.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
He said they're going to revamp the system next year, but that's how they're doing it this year.
Oh. I think you might have been the catalyst for that need to revamp.
I cannot speak to that. I don't know what I'm doing. So, I put on here what we've been doing in pinball. I decided that since the Mustang LEs were shipping, I was going to get a hard-on on how to find out the 8 songs that are in the game. So, I emailed Game Exchange. I emailed Wizard Arcade or something. I don't know. Any place I knew that had an LE, I emailed, hey, can I get this? Can I get the list? And I put a post on Pinside, and the only one that even responded was somebody on Pinside posted it. So here are the elusive 8 songs. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We already know Ace of Spades by Motorhead, Drag City by Jan and Dean, Free Ride by Edgar Winner, and hey, that Blitzkrieg Bop's not even on the list.
Hmm.
Did they take it out?
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Anyway, so Blitzkrieg Bop is on the pro, but the 8 songs for the LE are those 3, and then Frankenstein by Edgar Winner, which is a much better song than Freeride. Go Boy Go by Jimmy Deonda, who I think it's a cover of some old like 50s or 60s song by the drummer of the Bullet Boys. The Bullet Boys, I only know they had a song on the Wayne's World soundtrack.
So that's the hipster pick right there?
No, that's not hipster. Like, who? It's like Burnout. It's like having...
You said it was a cover of some weird...
It's a cover of a song from like the 50s or 60s or something that I never even heard of by the drummer of the Bullet Boys, which are like probably a no-hit band from like the early 90s. The end of hair metal. That's when they came in.
Very nice.
Then you have I Just Want to Celebrate by Rare Earth, which is an okay song. But we're still almost literally scraping the barrel of the 50 years of Sony music here. Then you have My Own Worst Enemy by Lit, which is okay for a 90s hit. And What I Like About You by The Romantics.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, Ace of Spades, awesome. Blitzkrieg Bop, of course, awesome. Frankenstein's okay. I don't know.
I don't know how that one's gonna sound for pinball. That's weird.
weren't we joking that, like, Soul Asylum would be on there or something? At this point, Soul Asylum would actually be a perk compared to most of the stuff on here.
Misery, Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Lit, really?
At least that's, like, a pop tune, like...
Yeah, it's just so weird.
People that were born in the last 40 years have heard that one song.
I guess.
Ask anybody under the age of 40 what I Just Want to Celebrate is.
I know what it is, because it's used in a million cheesy ads on TV.
Yeah. So these are the 8 cheapest songs in the Sony back catalog, apparently.
Sounds about right. That song's been licensed for
forever.
Every stupid TV ad.
I guarantee everybody's heard that song, but
yeah,
no one could name the artist.
They've heard the chorus.
Yeah. Anyway, nothing interesting there. That would be a good one for to use Pinball Browser on and put 8 songs you actually like on there.
I think so.
There we go.
It's the only way you're getting your Barry Manilow in there, Don.
Oh, Copa. The Copacabana.
Yeah.
I'd have
and,
the hottest pin.
That in your...
Huh?
In your Jimmy Buffett.
No, I'm not a Parrothead. I'll give you Manilow, but I'm no Parrothead.
That should be the contest. The 8 worst mainstream songs that could be in your pin. I mean, I guess I'm just begging for, like, 8 Nickelback tracks to be sent in, but could you imagine how bad that could have gone now, thinking about that?
The 8 worst songs that are relevant to the over 50 crowd that's interested in the Mustang pin in the first place.
Yeah.
Hmm. Something from Xanadu.
We looked at it this one time, but now I need to look at the Sony Music.
Yeah, 38 Special. Old guys love 38 Special for some reason.
So, list of Sony Music artists. Okay, let's see here.
Gotta be over 50-year-olds. Not the recording, but appeal to them.
Wait, so AC/DC is?
At least 30 years old.
Well, AC/DC could have put a song in. Air Supply.
There you go.
There you go. Alan Parsons Project.
They got a couple. I could see them dropping some analytics in there. We're going to go through the entire alphabet of...
Yeah, it seems like we should. No, I'm just... Avril Lavigne.
Well, Ozzy? Ozzy's a Sony artist? They couldn't put an Ozzy song on there?
That would have been nice.
Pink
Floyd? Little Crazy Train.
Yeah. Crazy Train would have been killer on a pin. Even Rat. Rat is bigger than Bullet Boys, for sure. Whatever.
I think they didn't do Alan Parsons Project because there's like 40 people that have been in that band just paying out too much.
Yeah. Each of them gets like 15 cents a track.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains. All right, anyway. Aerosmith's a no-brainer. They have their own Guitar Hero.
That's true. All you could have done Dream On, the one where they tried to sound like Led Zeppelin, and it turns out it's their only good song.
Well, even something like Walk This Way has a good beat for pinball.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We beat that horse a couple times. It's just really disappointing.
It's a Mustang horse.
What? I don't get it.
Beat that.
Oh, beating beat
a
that
dead,
horse?
Beating,
oh,
a dead
oh.
beating a dead Mustang.
Very nice. Jeff's on
yep.
the ball. The
pinball.
Pinball.
Some Boney right. M. Now that would have been awesome. Sorry.
Boney M. Nicholas Baldridge. Actually, a couple people sent us pictures of their game rooms after we complained about not getting pictures of game rooms last month. So maybe I'll just make one big post of everybody's game room. We did get pictures of that Western-themed arcade that David Paul put together.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it on the last show, but he sent some pictures. I'll put a link to the thread he put on Pinside. It's actually pretty cool. There's like a little jail cell in there. It looks like it's a new... It's a, like a, an Old West saloon-looking building, but it's not rustic yet because it's new wood. So it looks like how it might have looked back then, and eventually it'll get weathered and it'll look really authentic. But inside it'll still be full of like badass pins and stuff.
My area is so boring. I mean, my machines are all together and it's cool and everything, but I see so many cool things that people are doing with their space and it makes me jealous.
Yeah, I know. I want some blacklight carpet. I want play fields in the ceiling.
Yeah. It's all, but I don't have a drop ceiling, so.
I don't either. I could put it in a drop ceiling. Oh, under my ceiling.
But yeah, if I did that, then it would be like 6 feet tall in my basement.
You're bent over when you're playing pins anyway.
No, I'm not. I stand up straight. Stand on your toes. That's why I'm good.
Alright. Bob Dushak? Dushak. He wrote in, he gave me some tips on how to get Hyperpin to work. Kind of the big one, which I think we talked about with Joe, was all your files have to be the exact same name. Like, same spaces, punctuation, the whole deal. So, to get everything to sync up for Hyperpin. But anyway, thank you, Bob, for the input on that. If I have any issues, I will let you know.
So, you'll be hearing from Don.
Yeah, no doubt. And Joe, actually, he mentioned that he had a retraction about Visual Pinball, because version 9 supports DirectX 9.
Oh, okay.
And the newest version does have really good lighting effects. He sent me a link of Scared Stiff on YouTube, and it did look really good compared to what's on there right now. So I'll post that video. Thank you, Joe, for being wrong.
But admitting it. So that was his we effed up for the, yeah, for the show.
That's okay. And we talked to Juan, and I talked to... We got an email from... David Paul again. They both went to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo in Atlanta this past weekend. Both said, yeah, it was awesome. I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it went off without any issues, and Juan took a ton of great pictures that are kind of floating around out there. So
yeah. So I'm glad to hear that it was a hit, and hopefully they'll be doing more. I think they talked about on the latest Game Room Junkies, they talked about they already booked the room for next year, so.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Yeah. I noticed on the new episode, I haven't had a chance to listen to it all yet, but they seem happy.
Yeah.
Why can't we be happy?
I know. They hit a lot of bumps that first day, and they kind of go over what happened. But
expected.
None of them were their fault. It was all...
No, I think issues. Every show, yeah, I think every show has a lot of issues that the attendees don't really notice. Some they do, but... I think as an organizer, it has to just be a big exercise in stress management.
Yeah, you got to let it roll.
Because whenever we go out to Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown, you and I both know Dan well enough, and I talked to him a lot this last time, and him and his wife, Holly, they do a really good job, but it stresses them out. And they've got everything down to a pretty exact formula at this point.
Yeah.
But they're still running around stressed out.
They're usually wide-eyed and covered in sweat.
Yeah. But, man, I for me, to put on a show, to kind of get it to the point where, like I said, they've got it down to pretty good exact formula, and they run a really, really well-run show. Seems for me it would take so many years of trying different things to dial it in like that. But it sounds like... you know, they did a good job at Southern Fried, and I'm sure next year it's just, you know, bigger and better. So
yeah, definitely.
Happy to hear it went well.
Makes me very jealous.
Maybe I'll be the one Utah attendee next year, huh?
Yeah, he mentioned on here that Charlie and us were the only podcasters not there.
Well, that's because Charlie is too big, too far above that kind of stuff now.
They couldn't afford him.
Yeah. His appearance is astronomical.
Yeah, well, I would like to go.
I would too.
I'll tell you why I probably won't be. Or maybe I will be. Let's take a break and we'll talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Ding, ding, ding. Listening to the Pinball Podcast, in case you forgot. We got news. We got big news. Why may or may I not be going to the Southern Fried Game Room Expo? Because of Replay FX. Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
What's this? It's the big news of the day. I was actually trying to get somebody up there to give a little interview, and our schedules did not mesh today, mostly my fault. But ReplayFX is basically going to, it looks like it's going to take the place of Papa, the World Championships or whatever, the Papa event in August. They're going to, it looks like they're going to run Papa maybe earlier in the year and move Pinburg to August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be part of this thing called, let's see here, Replay Festival Extravaganza. It's still going to be in Pittsburgh. There's over $100,000 in prize money. Over 700 arcade and pinball machines.
How much of that money is available for me to win, Don?
We don't know yet. It just got announced today. Hopefully a lot.
I'm coming for it.
Yes. Yeah. I want enough to pay $3,500 for a theater of magic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's next July 30th through August 2nd, 2015. You can check it out. ReplayFX.org. is the website. The website, there's not a whole lot on there. There's more than I thought there'd be. There's not a whole, not everything there yet, though. And they'll be adding to it. But it looks like it's a new foundation, or Replay Foundation, I haven't heard of. But they're joining together with Papa to throw this huge festival every year. So it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I was just looking at the website here. Tabletop, games...
They mentioned face painters, so I know that should get you out of Salt Lake, if anything.
Well, yeah.
The only issue is that August 2nd is my birthday, so that's like, hey, yeah, I could talk my wife into letting me go. But July 31st is our 10-year anniversary.
See, my 10-year was this month. June 19th. Yeah. Congratulations to you.
10 years in a row, or?
10 years in a row.
Nice. So, I don't know if she'll let me go. That's why I don't know if I'll be able to swing it.
It's your anniversary present.
Yeah, very romantic.
Babe, I've loved you for 10 years. I just need a couple of days to myself.
Give me the weekend, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that. They've got a Twitter and a Facebook set up. I think when I clicked on the Twitter, there was like 8 followers. So, yeah, just launched today. Definitely check it out. Did you notice the countdown on Bonnie D. Pinball is over?
Oh, I haven't gone back.
Oh, Lord.
But I know what it is.
Yeah. So, Bonnie D. Sorry. Pinball, basically...
I was just trying to do some setup for some dramatic...
Thank you.
...reveal of the news, but okay.
It's Barry Alser's forehead. That's the big countdown.
Yes.
No, Barry Alser, they launched a Kickstarter, which I'm all for, you know... New pinball teams, they can get it together. Barry Alser, I'd love to see another pin from him. The art design on what they're calling Pinball Gremlins looks pretty cool. But the Kickstarter is very ambitious. It's $100,000.
Yeah.
It went up about 5 days ago as of our recording, and they've sold one game so far. So they have 8,000 of the 100,000. If you look at KickTrack, they're trending for 50% of their goal, if they say it this...
Yeah, this one's going to be a hard one to track, because it's going to come in, like, chunks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll boost by 8 grand every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, that was significant. But, you know, they know what they're doing. I'm just almost wondering if they launched the Kickstarter a little too early. I get the idea behind the Kickstarter, but I'm almost wondering if maybe a little bit more hype should be built and say, hey, we're going to be doing a Kickstarter, and then roll that out after kind of the news is out there about it a little bit more fully, because you only have a certain time period to get that goal.
So. Yeah, they have 25 days left, so it's a 30-day Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the donations come right away and then at the end, but yeah. I don't know if that many will come in.
Yeah,
you're right. They should have built it up, got us excited about it, and then, boom, okay, now you can pre-order on Kickstarter. Yeah. But the other thing with Kickstarter is it's basically a donation. Kickstarter doesn't guarantee anything.
No.
That money's gone, it's gone.
You're basically supporting a cause, and if you get anything out and back on it, that's what you're hoping for and, you know, expecting to some degree, but... Yeah, you said there's no guarantees, there's no way to, like, hold them to anything, but...
Yeah. There's been a lot of Kickstarters that And not the majority, but there's some notable ones that have funded, and then they ran out of money halfway through because Kickstarter wasn't big, ambitious enough for what they wanted to do, and everybody kind of got hosed. They ended up looking for outside funding anyway.
Yeah, luckily that's never happened in pinball, so...
Yeah, they usually just don't get funded.
Yeah.
And really, there's only two boutiques shipping so far of the, like, 18 there are now.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Yeah,
I
do like the artwork and the initial design look of the game. Like you, I'm not crazy in the market for an expensive pinball machine, but I do like kind of the initial drawings that are up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they have some cool ideas. They talked about there basically being gremlins inside the pin.
Yeah.
That are messing with the ball, messing with this or that. Which they have a lot of cool ideas, but I don't know. It'd be great to see them make it. But they don't have, I don't know who Bonnie D is, I don't think anybody does. They don't have Jersey Jack's 30 years in the industry, or John Papaduke's history, which he still hasn't released any games either.
Yeah.
Even being as big a name as he is. Pat Lawler and John Yalcy, they missed the Kickstarter goal. I think theirs was $100,000 as well for that pro pinball table like a year or two ago. And those are the biggest names in pinball.
Yeah, the Barry Ausler name will help,
definitely.
Obviously. So I wish them all the best luck because I do like what they've shown so far, but like you said, they're really up against it being a kind of newcomer. So,
So we'll link to the Kickstarter. Check it out. I think I ordered a key fob or something for $10. Oh, also with Kickstarter, if it doesn't fund, they don't charge you. So,
right.
If it doesn't make it, you don't lose anything. If it does, you hopefully don't lose anything. Titan Pinball. Have you checked out Titan Pinball, sir?
That one I have not.
It's a new pinball parts place, but they have all kinds of different colored rubbers, which seem to be somewhat difficult to find. The prices seem pretty reasonably.
I did look at this.
Yeah. I have not ordered from them yet. I just saw this the other day, but mm-hmm. I would like to try a couple colored rubbers. Their prices on LEDs and bolts and whatnot, kind of the basics, are, you know, pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I'm going to order one of the little box of columns for sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the big bag of stuff.
Big bag of stuff.
Yeah.
They have something called the Titan Tiltometer, which is a little 3D printed piece that you put over your tilt bob, and it kind of has like a little meter on it. If you want it a loose tilt, you go to this line. If you want a really tight tilt, it goes from green is kind of loose up to red is a tight tilt. And so you can get an easy to view way on how to adjust your tilt.
Yeah, I really like that idea, actually. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and it's only $350, so something fun to just throw on a game or do as a prize or whatever.
Yeah.
For your tournament. So give them a look. They're not sponsoring us. I just thought it was cool.
No, it'd be neat if, like, the little tiltometer caught on and, you know, just everybody was using these. And, you know, at tournaments and stuff, say, oh, we're running the tilt at level 7 or something like that. And then after hearing it for a while, you'd kind of know. It's like, all right, you know, tournaments generally do a 6 or a 7, and then you could practice exactly what the tilts are going to be set up at, where you're going to go play. Or if you're running, like, online tournaments, so say, okay, everybody submit your scores. By the way, tilt for this tournament is going to be set at 5. You know,
that's a great idea.
You could standardize a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah, that is a really good idea. Austin Powers is on orange alert. I like that. Good thinking, Jeff.
Yeah, I once in a while do think a little bit.
So if you guys use that idea, send Jeff a free tiltometer.
Yeah, do that.
One of the biggest news stories this past week was Pinball Circus.
Yes, with extra features.
Yes. Python Angelo, and one of his maybe most ambitious projects, is coming to life, and you can order one and purchase one. Own your own pinball circus. Go ahead.
No, it's so cool, like, for him that this is happening. Like, part of me wishes that oh man, too bad we couldn't have got this to happen while he was still around.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, that would have been, that would have just been perfect. But I understand why it didn't happen at any point. But it's really cool for his legacy that they're gonna do this project.
Looks like they've got some of the guys from the Spooky Pinball team working on it. Charlie did a mock-up, or not a mock-up, but a legit version of the Whitewoods. He ran a couple to see how it all went together. It looks like Ben Heck's involved, maybe on some of the programming, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would guess.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. They got a good pedigree. So we'll see how it all pans out. I don't think... I know they launched a Facebook page. I'm not sure if they have a... I'm going to look real quick. I'm not sure if they have an actual website.
I no
pre-order
don't know.
One or whatever. Pinball Circus is such a generic term. Nothing's really popping up. I'll find out. If I find something, I'll throw it in the... you know, the thingy.
Yeah.
The show notes that nobody reads.
The thing.
The thing. Oh, also, I noticed on the show notes on my iPod anyway, or my iPhone, if you tap our picture when you're listening to the podcast, it'll bring up the show notes, and it includes all the links. You can just tap the links right on your phone, and it'll open them in Safari.
Yep, that, or Chrome.
Or Chrome, or whatever.
Or yeah. Opera.
If you're using that.
Yeah. Some do.
Yeah. I don't know. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's some nice functionality there. That's why we do it, for the people.
Yes. So do you think, are you in on a Pinball Circus or what?
I'm not in the market for a pinball machine. Oh man, it would be so cool. Like, that's one of those things that if you're a super collector, you have 20 games or something like that, that you're probably the type of person that has a lot of visitors that don't play a lot of pinball, and if they're just kind of like wandering around unsure what to do, you point them out and say, go play that, and they're gonna just immediately light up and understand, okay, I'm trying to do something here, I'm trying to get the ball from one place to another, and they're really gonna enjoy it. And then that to me seems like a good gateway into pinball. And say, okay, so the same concept as, you know, in these other machines, it's just not stacked. But if I had a big collection and I had the available funds, I would be all over getting one. It's a really cool piece of pinball history. It's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. It's just, it's not something that I would be willing to downsize my collection for, which I would have to do in order to get one, to buy one at this time. But man, for those who get them, I'm jealous, especially hearing that they're going to add in features that were cut out. Because who knows what those were, aside from people that have like the original plans or Python's artwork and sketches. So there's some really cool stuff going on there.
Do you know what the price point is?
I haven't seen. I bet you it's going to be between seven to ten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven would be a surprisingly low number.
Yeah.
But thinking about it, I don't know. Maybe it's not as expensive today as it would have been then. I'm not sure. But I'm guessing it's between 7 and 10.
I know that they always said it was too expensive to go into production. I'm wondering if it's because the whole thing is shaped differently. Like, they had to, you know, they already had an assembly line for a typical sort of pinball machine.
Yes.
If that was part of the issue. Whereas if you're just starting up and that's the only game you're making.
Yeah, why not?
You'd be ready to go.
And not only that, I just think that at the price that pinball machines sold to distributors back then, like, they were way lower than they are today. And so when Stern sells a machine today for $4,500, they're making a lot higher margin on it than, you know, Williams did selling one at $3,000, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just, just the way that, you can source materials globally and everything now, I would have to think that the cost of materials has not gone up with the same rate as the price increase and just general inflation. So, because wasn't everything mostly made in Chicago, actually manufactured there?
I don't know. I would guess so, because I know we had to ship it to Australia then back, right?
Yes. I mean, they weren't just like ordering, you know, 5,000 brackets from China.
Yeah. Although we probably mentioned it before, but whenever you see Illinois Pinball at a show, he's always got a bunch of pinball circus parts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are there all these Ringmaster bodies
floating
out in the wild?
What am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
So some parts were definitely ordered and
yeah. Somewhat of a bulk.
Yep.
Anyway, very cool that it exists and there will be more than two, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to have to just go to Vegas. It'd be nice to have one, different countries at least.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Or at least get something out near the East Coast.
Yep. So. Where is the other one? Do you know?
I can't remember who's. Every time it gets brought up, they change who. Like, the people who say they know where it's at seems to be claiming it's somebody different. But I've heard that it was, like, Mike who runs Pinball Expo has it, but I don't think that's true. I don't know.
I used to know. I don't know anymore. I used to know what they said anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, cool game. All right. Any other news? Hot news? Hot news items?
Just, you know, my upcoming event.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that. Upcoming events.
All right. So, this might matter to, like, the four or five locals who listen. And you probably heard by now, but I just kind of want to mention it. July 19th, we are going to be running Utah's first official IFPA event. And it is just going to be a $20 buy-in tournament. Depending on how qualification everything goes, the decision will be made that day whether it's going to be a single or double elimination tournament. We're hoping it's going to be a double, but if, you know, 100 people show up, that's not feasible. But it's going to be held in Farmington, Utah, which is just like 10 minutes north of Salt Lake City, and it'll be held at a just a member of the community's home. It's got an excellent collection and good spread of games. But it's just going to be $20, and the proceeds are going to benefit Project Pinball. That's the place that takes pinball machines, puts them in, like, children's hospitals, maintains them, and, you know, they do a really good job. And they're kind of in this growth phase, and the IFPA is really supporting them heavily. So it is on the IFPA calendar now, and I'll be posting stuff on Pinside and such to talk about it a little bit more. We have a Facebook page up, and it's just facebook.com/tiltelevated. Tilt Elevated is the name of the event. So that will be coming up in about 3.5 weeks. So I'm going to compete. Hopefully I don't just get embarrassed. I'm representing the show. So
that is embarrassing.
I just want to at least qualify for the finals. So.
Yes. So if they want to make a donation, can they use the donate button on our site and then just, just put a notation, donate towards the...
Yeah, if they want to do that, that's definitely one you can do it. Just make sure it's very clear that it's for Tilt Elevated, not for anything else. And then, yeah, I'll just throw it in that. So
we're going to pocket anything that is not specifically labeled.
We'll use it to pay hosting, actually.
And by we, I mean Jeff. Yes.
But... Yeah,
very cool. Best of luck with that. I'm sure you'll give us updates as we go.
Yep, whether you want them or not. So.
Oh, we want them. We want to know. We want to know how you did on Striker Extreme in the tournament.
That won't be in there.
Bummer.
I know.
We talked about it a little bit on our last show, but tiltcycle.com. It's a art opening on July 12th. The artist is Dan Burfield up in Pittsburgh, or the Pittsburgh area. Or actually, I think it's in Ohio, the actual... I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. He's in Pittsburgh. The show is in Ohio. It has a weird name, Sandusky. Cuyahoga Falls.
Cuyahoga Falls.
Cuyahoga, Isatoga Falls.
Bernard Falls.
Anyway, tiltcycle.com. It's very cool. I'm not sure how long the show will be up, but the opening reception is July 12th. So, he does some really cool stuff. I've got a couple hanging in my house, and if you get there early, you can have one hanging in yours, too.
Yeah.
Not you, Jeff.
No, I that's the all y'all.
Connoisseurs of artistes. Fine art.
Fans of the hobby.
Right. So, best of luck with that, and there you go. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with a new feature.
Uh-oh.
Yes. We are back with a new segment. It's called the B6. The B6? Is that what we're going with?
B6? How about just B6?
B6. Don't be square, don't be four, B6.
That's the letter B, the number 6, not like...
B6E.
B6. B2. Wait, is it B6 or is it B6?
B6. I don't know, this isn't too catchy yet.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. So if you come up with a better name, we'll throw that in the contest pile. Yeah?
Yeah, great. Sure.
Sure. And if you know why we're calling it B6.
You're awesome.
You're awesome. And we'll give you proffers, as Josh, Jeff put.
You almost call me Josh.
Josh, whatever. Oh, speaking of which, Pinball Soul is for sale. Did you see that?
Yeah, that bummed me out. Like, it hasn't been doing anything for a while, but I saw the little Twitter back and forth. I was like, oh.
We don't want Josh Blood to lose his voice.
I know, he's got the nicest sounding voice in pinball, so...
Literally and figuratively, yeah.
He's losing his voice?
His voice in the community, I mean.
Okay.
His megaphone. Anyway, if you're interested in taking over pinballsoul.com and all of its...
social media happiness.
Yeah. Various organizations tied within. Yeah, contact Josh Blood, pinballsoul.com. He's looking for a good home.
Yep.
So, anyway. So what we did is, Jeff and I, we thought we might try this. You can actually play at home if you want. But we looked at all of our audits, our total play audits on our games, and we wrote them down. And then we added them up separately, which we could actually add ours together. Of course, you could do that at home. Anyway, so we want to see how many, we're going to check it maybe every other show, to see how many we play in a month, or every show, or whenever we think of it. We're going to basically see how many plays each game is getting, which ones are getting the most plays, etc. Does that make sense?
It does to me.
I thought it was kind of interesting. Like, maybe you're only playing your Austin Powers once a month, but you're playing your Fathom 79 times a month.
Yeah, and you can see each time which the big gainer was. So we can kind of see the trends and what you're playing for that month.
However, the caveat is that anytime your batteries die, which should never happen,
that happened to me.
Should not happen to a seasoned pinball collector, or you update code or whatever, you lose your totals. Unless you just have an EM collection, those totals don't go away. You can just roll them over.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Whatever. It's something fun. If you don't like it, you can skip this part, right?
Sure. Yeah. No, this is gold. Everyone's going to like this. That's not going to happen.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Screw you guys.
All right, so right now I have 7 games up and ready to play.
All right.
That means I've got 4 that I cannot play. That's embarrassing. All right, so Simpsons Pinball Party. Actually, let's see. I've got Simpsons Roadshow, World Cup Soccer, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Wizard of Oz Metallica, and Beat the Clock. Which game do you think has the highest... audit?
Were any of these cleared by you, or is it...
Woz and Metallica were both updated recently.
Right, right. Yeah, and I figured those would be in double-digit numbers. I'm going to guess it's Dracula.
No, if you said Beat the Clock, 1973, you'd be correct. Well,
besides that, because...
besides that, Beat the Clock has 5,401 plays. World Cup Soccer is next.
Okay.
With 2,152 plays. And then Simpsons Pinball Party. I think I updated the code at some point. Probably when I got it. So it has 340 plays in the past 2 years. Wow, that's crazy. I thought it'd be a lot higher.
Long games.
There you go, long games. And then next is Wizard of Oz, 239 plays. Here, Roadshow, I put in one of those V-PIN non-battery flash memory backup things in it.
Uh-huh.
So it only has 143 plays registered right now. Bram Stoker's was dead when I got it in October.
Oh.
It has 118 plays since I brought it back to life.
But I would have been right otherwise.
Yes. And Metallica has 19 plays since the code update like 3 weeks ago.
Cool.
Awesome. So the, my total is 8,412.
All right. Well, then, I have 8 games. I'm not going to count the Simpsons pinball party that's at my parents' house or the Simpsons that's at my brother's house, the Daddy Simpsons. So, and I, my OXO is up in the garage, so I'm not going to put that in the rotation either. So my available games are Spider-Man, Attack from Mars, Bride of Pinbot, Tron, AC/DC, Twilight Zone, Addams Family, and Creature from the Black Lagoon. What's your guess on highest number of plays?
Addams?
You're so wrong. It's actually Twilight Zone at 2,900 even. So
even? Wow. Yeah.
And all of the all 8 of these games at one point or another, I have changed the batteries on or, you know, had cleared everything at some point of owning them. So that's a lot of plays on a Twilight Zone. I've owned that for, you know, a few years, but still it's quite a few plays.
And I should say for the rookies, if you leave if you change the batteries while your game is on, it won't clear your totals.
Yeah. But when a game's new to me, sometimes I don't care. So
yeah, I don't usually care.
All right, so here... Wait, did you... I already blanked on... Okay, so let me read my totals, and then the grand total. So Spider-Man, which was recently updated, has 162. Tyson's been hammering that one pretty heavy. Attack from Mars is 1,803. Bride of Pinbot, also recently cleared, 147. Tron, cleared not too long ago because I updated it, was 571. AC/DC, same story, 580. Twilight Zone, I mentioned, 2,900. Addams Family, 1,169. Creature from the Black Lagoon is 400 even. So my total is 7,732.
7,732.
Yes.
All right. Let me bust out the calculadora.
That was...
Of course, all the math wizards already have this done in their head. Our total together is 16,144.
Cool.
So our contest is going to be guess our number on the next show, our total together.
And are we going to go Price is Right style? You can't go over, or just closest to?
Closest to.
Okay, that's what I'd prefer.
All right, so closest to, you send it in, you put in, the title should be the name of the segment, whatever you think it should be, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. And then a number, which will be presumably higher than 16,144.
Yeah, unless I realize I missed a code update somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's not going to go down. But but Jeff said, yeah, he's wrapped up the next couple weeks, and I actually have company in town next couple weeks, so I might actually get in a couple extra plays.
Oh, you know what? I do have family coming in from Albuquerque, which means I know for a fact that Attack from Mars is going to spike because my cousin's husband is all about that game.
Good man.
So he may not rest until he at least hits the high scoreboard.
You should join the Duke City Pinball League and he can play it. One of our collectors has one.
I'll let him know.
Please. I'm curious to see how Metallica does because 19, I mean, that one's pretty easy to figure out if it goes to like 80.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Metallica, anyway. Don. I'd play it.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, like, well, which is your favorite? And I said, probably Metallica right now. That's the one that I go to the most.
Yeah. I haven't been spreading the love enough lately. I've been really zeroed in on AC/DC and Tron.
That's all right.
And Creature. So
get some fast games going.
Yeah.
And you can play at home. You can go register... You know, write down all your own and see how much you're playing compared to us when we do our totals. You dig? Listeners?
I hope they do.
I've actually been bugging the hell out of my wife to allow me to sell my Wizard of Oz. It's been actually, we've been having some significant marital fights about it. I wish I were joking. I really, really want to sell it, and she does not want me to sell it.
The Woz incident is what it'll be known as when counseling happens 6 years from now.
We cannot afford a $7,000 game, but I would love to have $7,000 to spend on the backyard landscaping. And obviously we're not playing it that much. I don't even think I played it since last league night, like 2.5 months over here.
Don, it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's fine and all, but it'll be fine in 10 years when my kids are older and my yard is done.
I agree. I've thought the same thing about Attack from Mars, and then I slap myself, and then I send myself to timeout.
Well, Attack from Mars is not on the line right now. Yeah. You can't buy a new inbox.
But that may not be the case 6 months from now.
On Wizard of Oz?
Attack
he
from Mars.
He said he was going to run it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you're right. Well, then, yeah, but if that is the case, you'd be a little more willing to sell, I'm sure.
I don't know. I love my...
Not that you would, but I'm just saying.
I've honestly curled up underneath my Attack from Mars and slept there before. I love it.
Yeah. You need to see a psychiatrist as well.
I was tired. It wasn't like I was like, I want to sleep under Attack from Mars.
Sounds a little bit like that. All right, so there's our... Whatever our weird contest.
B6.
B6. Be obscene. All right, Featured Machine, Jeff.
One of my favorites.
Austin Powers.
Elvis.
The word Maverick has been spoken on this podcast episode.
Maverick was our first Featured Machine, wasn't it? Or was it our second?
No. I can look. Allow me to look. Go into the Wayback Machine. But yeah, we're doing Creature.
Judge Dredd was the first.
Twilight Zone was first. What?
Judge Dredd was the first, Twilight Zone was the second.
Maverick was episode 4.
Rite of Pinball was 3.
Whatever.
Okay. But Maverick was, it was in there pretty early in the game.
I sure am glad we keep these lists. Since we don't have Man, I need to take one of those pills and make you remember words more. You know.
I don't,
what are they, thesaurus pills or something?
Ginkgo biloba?
Yeah, one of those.
I don't know.
We need an archivist.
So, what is the actual game this month?
Creature from the Black Lagoon. It is a Williams pinball design, designed by John Trudeau, art by Kevin O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeff Johnson. Isn't that a race car driver? He did the software?
Yeah, between races.
Nice. So, yeah, everybody's heard of it. 7,800 units, 7,841 confirmed units.
Mm-hmm.
It's regularly a top 10 game. It's always a top 50, top 100 game.
It's the most simple game that always rates that high, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a very popular theme. John Trudeau, probably every picture you see of John Trudeau, he's holding a bust of
the creature. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. Anyway, great, great design team behind it. Are we not giving props to... Is it Paul Heisch? Scott Slomiani?
You're just...
Am I saying it wrong?
I don't know. I'm not looking at it, but I...
Oh, Slomiani. He's done a lot of good games. He did the D&D animations.
Okay.
He did Adam's Family. He's done a lot of games.
I love the D&D.
T2.
In this game, but anyway.
Twilight Zone.
Anyway.
That's all we have to say, so we're going to move on to...
No, I got one... Well, I guess it's been about a year now, right?
Yep.
From one of your colleagues and cuddle buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I've really enjoyed it. I've put a lot of kind of work into it as far as, the toothpick trick in posts to make them a little more sturdy, and a lot of cleaning and a lot of little repair work here and there. I've been toying around with getting the LCD mod to it. All that's cosmetic, but I've got it where it's playing really well. It plays fun. And to me, like, if I had to name 5 just very pinball games, this would be one of those 5. It's just... It's like... modern in it's got the DMD, it's got some really cool shaped ramps, neat little thing in the middle if your hologram works, so it's got kind of all the cool flash, but it's it's really distilled into some very simple shots. There's nothing super crazy. There's nothing that's really that random to it. In fact, it's probably one of the least random games I can think of in pinball. It's just a very good shooter's game, and it doesn't take very long to learn the rules out, because it does a good job of explaining it as it goes along. And so this is just one of those games that when people are over here, I do have quite a bit of visitors come that don't know what to play. I point them to that quite a bit, because they can kind of make some stuff happen. And I just generally explain how to get into multiball and what you're supposed to do in multiball, and let them go. And I always notice that those people keep coming back to it throughout the night. So for me, having owned this game, it was kind of weird. I always liked it, but I never had a real strong desire to get one. I don't know what flipped the switch on me, but the second I wanted one, I just emailed you, like, kind of, I think it was a joke, like, hey, get me a creature. And you emailed right back and saying, well, I've got one for you. And days later, the thing was sitting in my garage. It was awesome. But it's been real popular with everybody around here. My wife loves the music on it a lot. I don't know. It's just a really fun game. Now, you had the high score on it when I got that, and that was unacceptable. So.
Oh, yeah, I did, and I forgot.
Yeah, so apparently you've played a little bit of the Creech yourself.
That was I think, the only game I played on it. He had gotten it, and I went over to play it. Or he had gotten it working. I went over to play it, and I ended up having a really good game.
Sorry.
It was like 550 million.
Yeah, it was respectable, especially for a one-shot, like, go at it. So.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, for me, I love the ramps on it. They look deceptively steep, but it seems like anytime you hit that ramp, it's going to make the turn and go around. I like that the multi-ball is just a very simple two-ball multi-ball, but it punishes you hard for losing the multi-ball. I mean, there's so many points out there for you if you can get all the way through to the double jackpot on that. Or is it double super jackpot? Whatever. I just like that point, when you can get that, is one of the most satisfying achievements that's very simple to understand and get in pinball, but it just makes you feel like just the best pinball player in the world. When you can do that, especially if you've got, you know, some score multipliers and stuff running. It's just very, like I said, very simple. It's something kind of like Pinbot or, High Speed, where not a lot going on as far as complexity, but a ton as far as satisfying stuff to shoot for.
Does it only have the one multiball?
Yeah, it's just
like to find the creature?
Yeah, that's all you've got.
I never thought about it.
And it's just a simple two-ball multiball, so.
It came out in, what was it, 92. Yeah. December 92, there you go.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm surprised I only got the one. I was looking at it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, why the hell is there a slide mode anyway? But then I started thinking, yeah, you're right. There at the drive-in, there always was a playground there.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I know. Keep the kids occupied while the parents are watching.
It's like, make sure you're not watching your kids as they play on dangerous playground equipment.
they get bored sitting in the car, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's cool that they added that in. I wouldn't have thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the way the theme is. I shouldn't say the way the theme is used. I'm just not a fan of the music, I guess. Yes, the music fits, but I just don't like that doo-wop era music.
Yeah, there's one music track that I actually am not a big fan of, but everyone else points to as it being one of the greatest musical tracks on there. And I don't know the name of it. I think it's actually original music, but
there's some that has really good sound effects and, you know, very memorable call-outs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Of course, Move Your Car.
I was going to say, the Move Your Car is
very popular.
Very, very good. Focus, when you lose the ball out the outlane.
Yeah, that's great.
It's good.
I'm trying to find a list of the songs in there. I'm not seeing them. They are, I don't know, they're hit songs you would know, but I can't think of them now. They're not Elvis songs, but they're like that era.
Yeah, all done.
Like an idiot not knowing. Rock Around the Clock, Get a Job, Summertime Blues, which I never liked. hand jive and then an instrumental by the Hurricanes.
Yeah. And they're all done in beautiful early 90s
MIDI
quality.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. It's such a contrast to what the game's actually, because the game's like this, you know, 50s, 60s vibe to it, but then it's like this very early 90s sound. I don't know. It's really weird and cool.
It should be a later game than 92.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. But this...
Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, some of my favorite things are just the little touches, like the DMD plastic, the speaker grill designs look like the speaker that you attach to your car
mm-hmm.
when you're at the drive-in. The DMD looks like a movie screen.
Yeah.
As far as the art around it. The cabinet art is one of my favorites. It's based on the Universal license, and it's just... I don't think it says creature on the side, does it?
It just has the creature swimming. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't even say.
Really nice, clean
enormous
image.
Enormous, four-foot-tall image of him, yeah.
Yeah. Just on black.
Looks great. The head art is great, like the claw scraping the side.
Yeah, that's really cool. The Translite art is so good.
Looks like a movie poster, just straight up.
It just looks so good. And it's kind of like that Attack from Mars, where it looks like it's, you know, old style, but it is done with, like, modern coloring and shading techniques and stuff. I don't know, it just looks really, really good. In fact, the art everywhere on that machine, Playfield included.
Yeah.
Very strong.
What do you think about the hologram?
When it works...
That toy.
It's really, really kind of cool. I'm torn. Like, should I put the LCD mod in there and go all out with it? Or should I just accept that I kind of have a faded hologram, but you can kind of see it? It's crazy how much Playfield space something like that takes up for... Yeah. Essentially a sticker to get lit up, you know, at certain times. I do like what they're going for there. I'm always wondering if it's a complicated setup to make that sucker work. It runs through the whole bottom of the
cabinet.
There's a mirror.
Yeah.
And they've got the angled sticker and stuff. Like, it's way more complicated than I think it probably needed to be, but it's got a motor to turn it back and forth. So they did a lot of work for a pretty simple effect, but if you've ever seen one with a really strong and good working hologram, it's pretty neat. It is pretty neat. But it does cause some issues. Slow rollers get the ball path changed a little bit by the edge around the window, which can be a bit of a bummer. Sometimes you're trying to trap a ball and it does a little bit of bounce off the flipper where normally it would, you know, bounce back safely, it might catch the edge of that window and redirect a little. So, as cool as it is, it's also problematic, and it doesn't do anything in regards to gameplay. So, I could get how some people may not love it all that much, but I personally think it's kind of cool.
I think it'd be cooler maybe on the back box. When I'm playing, you kind of, I don't know, I notice it when it turns on, of course, but I think the way Monster Bash did it is probably satisfactory. It's smaller. It's an actual molded toy that moves. I don't know. It's cool, but I do like the... you're talking about the mod where somebody put a monitor in there.
So yeah.
The creature swims around and different things happen. I do like that, but it's super expensive.
That's
like $400, right?
Yeah, and that doesn't include the screen, so...
Right, yeah, you gotta get your own monitor in there. So, yeah, if it's a keeper for you, I'd say go for it, but I don't know.
No
rush for a toy, basically.
Yeah, I don't see it going anywhere. For me, it's kind of like Bride of Pinbot, where if you're going to have, you know, a 10-game collection, you might as well have two or three games, and they're fairly simple to play. One, because newcomers, they can get on it and understand what they're doing. But two, it's a great high-score chase game. I know that's what you do with all your pinball machines, but rather than just saying, like, oh, I want to get to a wizard mode, I want to do this, you're pretty much just going for score with creature, and it's very straightforward on how to do that. I mean, there's some modes that are, you know, debatable whether they're worth going for or not, but it could just be we'll focus on getting multi-ball started and getting the jackpots, but I don't know. I think that there's a reason it shows up in a lot of tournaments. It's very balanced as far as scoring goes. And it's just one of those games where I don't tire of it. I understand where people might find it too simple, and they would, like, you know, after a few years say, I you know, think it's a great game. It's just, I'm done with it. For me, it kind of just scratches an itch that I always have in pinball, kind of like where I feel about some retro video games, where I like everything distilled down into a very simple form. For the crazy and wild, I've got other games that handle that. So I don't know.
On your game, what color are the lights on the whirlpool and on the big circular ramp?
Green.
They're green.
Yes. Okay.
Do you know if they were standard green or standard warm?
I am not sure. I've seen them both ways. I know that a lot of the kits that you buy to change those bulbs, they're almost always green. Yeah. But I don't know. I bet you that originally they were not green. But I don't know for sure.
I think I've mostly only ever seen green. But the one that went for sale in town locally has warm bulbs in it.
Yeah.
For sure. It looked weird. When I walked up to it, I noticed it right away because it looked different.
Yeah, and I've seen people put, like, a teal-colored bulb in there before.
Yeah, or they alternate green and teal.
Yeah.
Or green and blue.
I personally like the green. He's green. Like, the Black Lagoon is supposed to be kind of a greenish water look to it. So, the green works really well, whether that's the original or not. I guess we could find that out if we just watched, like, say, the promo video. And that would have that answer for us.
Good point. Looking on IPDB, there's warm and there's green ones, depending on the picture you're clicking on.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so I'm not sure.
Anyway, I was just curious. There's something else I was going to ask you about. Let me get a better view. So there's a plastic all the way in the back. There's like a swamp along the back
right
panel.
I know, yeah.
Like the back of a actual game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plastic underneath there that looks like a movie ticket. Does that just illuminate when you light paid? Do you know? I'm trying to get a better view so I can read what it says.
Let me go look at that off the top of my head. By the way, sorry, I was checking out. It looks like it was originally warm white, but...
Okay.
You're talking about it's the big... Oh, yeah, it's I know what you're talking about. The plastic that's there in the... Along... What do you call the back of the... playfield there.
Playfield back wall thing?
Back thing back wall. Area? Back wall. The black thing yeah. area? You're asking if that lights up?
It says... Or? Yeah, when does that light up? What does it say? Extra large? Something? I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't zoom in on the picture.
I am not 100% sure, to be honest. I haven't paid a lot of attention to that.
Damn it, Jeff.
But... That sounds like that might be correct, that it lights up at that point.
When you light paid. I have another question, Jeff.
Yeah?
The snack bar. How easy is it to hit the snack bar? It seems to be one of the toughest shots in pinball.
Oh, is that just me? No, I can hit it okay from both flippers, but it's one of those shots that you definitely need to get the feel for. It's a little bit safer shooting from the left flipper. Shooting from the right, it is a really tough shot, and it's an exact angle shot. The left, you do get a little bit more play on it, but it's definitely not like most scoops where you can kind of come into it from a wider angle. It's a pretty straight shot. For me, I'm kind of glad it's that way just because it's such a rewarding shot at times. That's, you know, where you collect your super jackpot and jackpot as well as part of the multi-ball searching for the girl, but it is not an easy shot. I've just gotten good at hitting it, but yeah, it's tough. You can watch pros playing on the game, and they'll brick it 3 or 4 times in a row.
Yeah, there's an extra wide rubber post right next to it.
Yes.
One of those triangle post things.
Yep.
What else are we going to ask you? I'm going to just keep quizzing you on Creature. So, the other day, I got... I satisfied snack bar, but I did not get it in the snack bar. What's up with that? Can you just collect the four?
You're just...
And then not have to get in?
You don't have
to... And get it in.
No, you don't have to hit it in. You just have to light snack bar. So, like...
All four of them?
If you shoot the shot and snack bar's not lit, it won't give you the letter. But you can hit the four targets to light the snack bar, and that'll give it to you. Also, okay. Doesn't it award you the letter and light snack bar if you hit the snack bar shot twice?
I don't know.
I think it might be the first time around. But, yeah, you don't have to actually collect snack bar when it's lit. You just have to light it. But it's worth shooting for when it's lit, because sometimes you get awarded a letter randomly there.
Oh, cool.
So,
I have another question, Jeff.
Okay.
So, the letters in KISS, basically, you complete four objectives to light film, and then that starts multi-ball. So, one of the four objectives is completing the word KISS, mm-hmm. K-I-S-S. When you launch the ball all the way around, instead of going to the upper lanes, depending on where it comes around, you will
pick up some letters.
You'll get some letters for the word KISS.
Yes.
On your game, to get the full word KISS, what letter has to be lit for you to launch it?
Oh, I usually launch it when it's kind of like the K is lit and it's changing to the I. But that's going to vary by how steep your game is set, how clean your game is. Because it's just when it hits the switch coming all the way left around. Though sometimes I feel like it's the I is fully lit and it's about to roll to the first S. I don't know. It depends how hard you're plunging and everything. But I'm not 100% good at hitting that shot. I know most people are, but I don't know.
So if you're playing it in a tournament or whatever, in a league, do a couple practice games, or at least a practice game.
Find out the time.
Pay attention to that. If you can nail it, first shot, that's boom, that's one letter.
Yeah, down. Especially...
Just plunging the ball.
Yep, especially if you can hit that, and then immediately pick up, you know... I mean, that's one of those letters that can be a little bit problematic to pick up. It's not the hardest shot, but it is one of those kind of off-the-tip-of-your-flipper shots. And missing it's not the most dangerous miss in the game, but it can cause some problems. It can get you into the slings, so you want to get that.
Oh, into the slings.
Yeah.
I've heard a good strategy is to a soft plunge up into the upper lanes, let it dribble down, like, from where the slide is,
mm-hmm.
and then it'll bounce over to the left shot, and you just keep going up into the upper lanes over and over and over, if you're just straight up going for points.
Yeah, because this is a game where there's not really a dangerous exit from the upper playfield down to the lower. And if you are coming from the upper playfield, there's a chance it can drop into the slings and you can lose control. But if you give it a good whack on the side as it's coming out, it'll generally go right to your flipper and you can do a drop catch. But that's definitely one... you know, strategy to go for, but you're never going to get into your multi-balls that way. And you're probably playing a lot of move your car, I guess, if you're doing that. It's just kicking it up. But or you probably are going to hit the left ramp a few times and then send it back up to get the combo bonus there. But that's a viable way to go for it. It's just there's so many points available on that super jackpot that you can pick up in one big chunk that... if you're confident in getting that far into the multi-ball, it's worth going that route instead, I think.
Good advice. I've got another question, Jeff.
Okay.
When's the last time you saw the movie? Have you ever seen it?
It was on Netflix around Halloween time. It might still be there. I don't know. And I fell asleep during the film. So...
a glowing
review. That's what happened. It's actually one that I would like to watch. I've always heard... it's one of the better Universal Monster movies, so.
Yeah. I saw it as a kid, and we wanted to watch it again, too. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but Dark Water creeps the hell out of me.
So. Dude, it's a good suit, too, that they built for him. Like,
yeah.
It looks good.
So. Very creepy monster. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't understand why Universal has not made better use of those movie monsters. Like, with everything else that's getting recycled, like Transformers and Ninja Turtles and whatnot, why are they missing the boat so bad on that? I think a lot of people would be interested in proper use of their movie monsters.
Bram Stoker was a big hit. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein was not a big hit. And Wolf was... I think Wolf did okay, right?
But they were... I don't know.
They're not, like, the classic design.
Yeah. I think you could have a really creepy... As long as it wasn't, like, Piranha 3DD cheesy levels, I think you could do a good creature from the Black Lagoon.
Piranha 3DD is a modern-day masterpiece. Thank you.
I'm saying they shouldn't aim that high.
Christy Swanson's finest role. Thank you.
David Hasselhoff's finest role.
I said good day, sir. So. Well, they did... if they could reboot Monster Squad, be done and done.
There you go.
I'd be all about that.
The Goonies with monsters.
Yeah. Monster Squad was fun. Wolfman's got nards. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
We said that about 95 times a day on the playyard.
You said Wolfman's got nards?
Wolfman's got nards, yeah.
Okay.
Not me, but I mean the kids.
Yeah.
The youth. I'd say that all the time in like 5th grade or whatever.
Hip to say.
Yes. It's a game that I really was excited about because I love Judge Dredd and John Trudeau so much, and then...
Didn't light your fire.
I'd never want to own one, but you do. Do you want to talk about prices? I've got the numbers up here.
Oh, man. This is one of those that just wildly varies because...
It does.
It can be in some of the worst shape, but clean up very well. Games you'll ever see. And then pristine examples are very, I'd say, prohibitively expensive. But I would say middle of the road, kind of aiming down the center, you're probably looking at $2,800 to $3,200 for one that's not pristine but not blown out either. If you want a project, this is one of those games where you can find repros for just about every piece of it. So don't be afraid to buy one that needs some work, because if that interests you, it's a beautiful game. Just working on it is satisfying. It's got such nice art. But you can get them in the low twos, sort of commonly, I would say, if you're just patient.
Looking at eBay,
if you're patient.
Completed eBay auctions. The last time one went for under $3,000 was August of 2012, so about 2 years ago. They're usually hanging out. The average is $3,300 or so.
Wow.
But in the last year, they've been hanging out around $38. As high
that
as
seems so crazy
as $5,000.
I think part of that is just the fact that people aren't selling projects anymore. This one, you know, I found privately through you, and I've seen a few more go privately in the low threes, mid twos. But I've seen some low twos for ones that you probably would want to replace the playfield. I guess that's kind of basically throwing an extra $600 to $700 back in there, but.
Are playfields still available pretty often?
I don't know. I
know they've done a couple runs.
What's that?
I know they've done they've at least done a
for
run.
For what? You cut out for a second.
A playfield? They've done a playfield. They've reproduced them, right?
Yeah. They're out there. If, you know, they're not in the stores or whatever, there's collectors that have them that will sell them. So.
I think Gene did a run. But Illinois Pinball did.
He did at one point, yeah. But okay, anyway. Personally, for me, if I was to be rebuying one, I would probably look for the high twos is the range I'd go for, because it is a very fixable game. There's not a lot of issues other than wear that you're going to have to worry about.
Cool. Alrighty. Oh, and we did rank it. Are you interested to hear where it ranked, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. This is news to me.
So, Jeff had already ranked it on Pinside using their formulas, and I already had as well. So, I added them together, divided by two. It came out with... Oh, I didn't post it. Damn it. Hang on. It's my first day. Oh, geez. I'm not even logged in. Bush League. Also, WordPress is having all kinds of problems.
I'm having...
I mean, that's all day.
Yeah. While you're having problems with that, I'm having Skype problems where I think I hear one out of every 10 words you say. But that's cool.
Let's take a break. Alright, anyway. So, sorry, we reset Skype. Creature, we both reviewed it. Do I sound like crap again, Jeff?
No. Yes, but it's okay. Just keep going. I don't think it's going to get any better.
We need to not... Let's not do an ad for Comcast. We both have Comcast. Apparently the internet's is not working. The tubes are dirty. Creature from the Black Lagoon, we got it at a 7.7025. That puts it at number 14 on our list. Just under Congo, okay. Another John Trudeau. And just above Revenge from Mars. I like it, but you liked it a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I like it, Don. So I went and got it.
Thank you for getting it. You can like whatever game you want, Jeff. It doesn't bother me. I'm glad you guys could find a good number to land on.
Mm-hmm.
Whatnot. All right. I actually have League Night over at that guy's house this week. I'm excited to play his Trons and AC/DCs.
I am here.
Okay. You there? All right. We're crashing and burning just like the old days.
I feel so at home.
My old days, I mean, like 2 months ago. All right. So there's our featured machine, if anybody's still listening. High Roller Casino is a virtual table on the Pinball Arcade. It will probably come out any day now. It was confirmed about a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Stern's. Not Stern.
Also.
No, I'd say it wasn't their page that I found out about it on. It was on Farsight's page. So.
Yeah, Farsight posted on Facebook. Also, Deadpool is out for Zen Pinball and Pinball FX 2. Did you play it yet, Jeff?
I have
I'll
not.
Just talk about it. So anyway, so Deadpool is a just lagging. Well, if you edit the podcast like normal, where we're off sync, we'll probably be perfect.
It'll be close. So.
I feel like I'm on one of those morning talk shows.
I don't know
shows.
What's. I don't know what's going on. I can't fix it. But no, I have not played the Deadpool game. But it looks fun. It looks cool. I like the voice work that I've heard of it. So I'll give it a try.
Yeah, Nolan North does the voice of Deadpool, which is fantastic. They actually hired a voice guy to do a voice on a Zen game for the first time ever. But it was kind of cool. Is there's like a little Deadpool guy inside the pinball machine playing a Deadpool pinball inside the pinball machine. Not like Stewie, but it's like sitting on the apron. And so, yeah, it's very meta. So when you lose your ball, it zooms in on his game and what he's doing. And it's so you're constantly playing it like an M.C. Escher painting or something. Your next game is always on the game on the apron. It makes more sense probably when you're playing. But anyway, it's very cool. Deadpool's a great license for a pin, of course. Lots of good humor and stuff. I only played like maybe 6 games, so I'm not going to give it any kind of review. Alright, so last month we talked about... Alright. For the first time ever, it's not my end that's breaking. There must be some big Utah convention. Maybe the Utah team is winning the World Cup right now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Team Utah is winning
team
it.
Utah.
So.
Team SLC. All right, so, hey, Jeff, did you hear about this? The Deadpool table is on Zen Pinball and Pinball FX 2.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Well, fantastic. You did not play it yet, though, right?
No, I have not, but I have watched, stuff about it. And
the teasers.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. They got Nolan North, so they actually have a real voice actor this time.
Of every video game fame.
We possibly could talk about how it's kind of meta because there's a little pinball machine in there that Deadpool is playing on. It's on the apron, and so when you lose your ball, it goes back. Like, you zoom in on that little tiny table that's on your table, and it keeps doing that. An M.C. Escher.
And if you pay really close attention, you'll see he's got earphones and he's listening to the pinball podcast.
Fantastic.
About us talking about the table within the table.
That's right. Just this one bit looping.
It's amazing.
Anyway, it's good. Go check it out. It's funny. I want a real Deadpool table now. Stern, please don't give us a brony table or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, that better happen.
What's the rumor? We haven't talked about rumors in a long time. Do you know what the rumor is?
Everyone always says The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead for the past 4 years. And then Game of Thrones, Muppets. I haven't heard any oddball ones pop up.
Yeah, I don't know. Mustang was kind of like a surprise, though, right?
Mustang was definitely a surprise. Iron Man was a surprise.
So, it could just be a surprise.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm not sold on any of those games, really.
They're also doing The Hobbit.
Yeah. They're basing it on the really shitty cartoon from the 70s, though.
Yeah. Putting all their eggs in that basket.
We just lost the other half of our listeners who love that cartoon, by the way.
You said it, not me.
I think actually the Hobbit cartoon was okay, but the other one sucked. I know my roommate made me watch them, and I didn't like any of them.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We asked last month for our contest to win a gift card from MezelMods.com, M-E-Z-E-L, mods.com. What Stern game would you buy from the vault? And we actually opened it all the way up to...
Data East as well.
Data East and Sega. Anything Gary Stern's had his hand in. So we got a couple of drops for the Simpsons Pinball Party, which had like 8 runs. But yeah, it's not in there now.
Still a hot game.
That one's still running on White Star too.
Yeah.
Pretty nice with new code, new shoutouts, new LEDs. That'd be cool.
Higher quality sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Lucas wrote in, he said he would like a Tron, but that's kind of been done over and over, so he'd like to see another run of Ripley's Believe It or Not. I'd like to see that game kind of tweaked a little bit more, too. John Oath, I always screw up his name, or maybe I just think I do. Lord of the Rings, duh. Hello. Yeah, I think they could do that, no problem.
It would go over well, I think.
Yes. And then, who? Jim Holly or Hale?
Hale.
Hale wrote you. Not me, but you. Do you want? You can read his email. He doesn't want to hear from me. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. This is what you do. You talk about the feedback.
It says, Jeff.
Yep.
Just
I just wanted to hear you say that. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Basically, it dawned on him what the next Stern game could possibly be. Game of Thrones. Now hear me out. Stern has a history with HBO, with The Sopranos. That's true. They will be making Medieval Madness, a Middle Ages themed game like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is hot.
Like Hansel.
Excuse me. Like Hansel?
So hot right
Hansen?
Now.
Hansen? They're still hot? They still around?
Yeah. You gonna offend the Aussies again?
Hansen isn't Australian. They're from Oklahoma.
No. Just go with it.
I'm confused. Are you getting mixed up with Hankin?
No.
Oh, what if Hankin came out of retirement and made a Hansen pin? That'd blow everybody's mind.
Why don't they?
Mm-hmm. And it fits the rotation. Rock theme, movie theme, not a rock theme or movie theme. Next should be a rock theme. High possibility equals Kiss.
That actually has been one of the rumors, is Kiss. I
don't know why, though.
Maybe just because they're... the one that hasn't been done? I don't know.
KISS just signed a huge licensing deal, but I still haven't seen anything about pinball in there. Or Stern, rather.
That's true.
I don't know. I'd be okay with that.
I'm not a KISS fan. But I'm not an AC/DC fan either, so what does it matter?
I do like KISS a lot more than AC/DC, but they still haven't done anything good since Psycho Circus, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dreamcast. They made a Dreamcast game.
They did make an awful Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
A Dreamcast pinball game.
Okay.
Oh, no. That was on PS1. There's a KISS pinball.
Yeah, there is.
There is a first-person Dreamcast KISS game that I do own.
Psycho Circus, isn't it?
It is Psycho Circus, yes.
Yeah.
All right. And he said... he has a feeling Stern will only produce 2 original pins this year instead of 3. It's competing with MMR on the line and now Iron Man.
That's a pretty smart observation, actually. I hadn't thought about that. That's probably a high possibility.
Yeah, they only did 2 last year.
Yeah.
Did Star Trek and Metallica.
And they threw the Tron run in there, so there is precedent.
You know, got to keep something on the line. So, anyway, I took all of our... Thank you, everybody, for entering, by the way. I put them in the pot, and I think we're going to pull... I'm sorry, I used random.org, and John Oath, who wins every time Joe Zinkus doesn't, he won.
Congratulations, John.
And then there's people like Marta K., who win and then don't get their prize.
She got it. It's been redeemed.
Did she get
it? It's been redeemed.
All right.
It was a bit of a sideshow, but she's got...
Fortunately,
she's got,
the Canadian dollar has dropped even further since then.
You are saying...
It's only worth half the value.
You're happy for Canadian financial problems?
No. We were awash not too long ago, weren't we? I'm happy the American dollar is rising.
Okay, that's the better way to think about it.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I need to feed these kids.
America rising.
Yes. So, and also, who won last time? John Dozier. Dozier? Anyway, I just remembered yesterday that I hadn't sent him his prize from 2 weeks ago.
That's just amateur hour.
Yeah, it's Bush League. It's going out this week, I promise. Cool. I already printed the label.
Oh, can't go back.
Anyway, thank you guys for entering our half-ass contest. But we do have another... We have an awesome... thingy Mabobber this month. Prize, which we already talked about, is a shooter rod mod. I'm sorry, my sinuses kicking in.
Shooter rod mod.
What Jeff said. You can get one of those from wizardamusement.com. Shooter rod of your choice. So our contest was to guess our numbers on that thing that hopefully recorded and here. The audit game, B6.
Don't be a pervert.
B6. A pervert?
I'm just messing with you.
But you're talking with the listeners.
No.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep about 20 minutes ago.
Listeners about...
Why do
21.
People even listen to our show? I don't even know.
Yeah, what do they get out of this? What? That's the contest. What are you guys getting out of this?
Why do you sit through this garbage twice a month now?
Ugh.
Did you listen to the One and Done podcast, Jeff?
Not yet.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's mostly talking about how it's going to work.
I really like the idea.
You could skip about the first half of the new one if you're not interested in recording your own, which is not a knock. I'm just saying. I was thinking, like, every podcast should record 2 episodes and release both as their first podcast. Because every initial episode is always like, this is who we are, this is why we're doing it. Nobody cares. They just want to hear stuff about their hobby.
That's true.
We probably did it too. I don't know. I haven't listened to our show in a long time, but anyway, it's worth checking out. If you want to record your own show, probably better than we can, check out the One and Done podcast.
Yeah, really cool idea.
Very cool idea. All right. Thank you. Are we done with this sideshow?
I sure hope so, man.
Let's go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, not with each other, but just in our own homes in general.
Retire to our separate...
I'm not coming on to you, Jeff.
I'm glad that you're not.
No, I will not make out with you. So, thank you, Stitcher listeners, for listening to our show. Thank you, Nifty LED. Thank you, WizardAmusement.com. Thank you, MeasleMods.com. You can check us out, Twitter.com/PinballPodcast, Facebook.com/PinballPodcast. Email us at pinballpodcast.com, and seriously, that's the best way to get
gmail.com.
What did I say, email?
You just said at pinballpodcast.com.
That doesn't even exist. pinballpodcast@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of
us. Yeah.
I would say.
Yep.
Even if you know us personally and you have our personal addresses, when I go to compile everything, I'm not searching my own email for your comment. Because I'm lazy. So, if you have it under our pinballpodcast@gmail.com, then odds are your stuff's going to get read or entered.
Yes.
Google Plus, just search us. And, of course, thepinballpodcast.com. Oh, and Instagram. Oh, hell, I forgot. I got an extra prize. I got a couple copies of the Slam Tilt zine.
That's right.
From Australia.
That's right.
He actually wrote to us about... giving us one to give away, and I said, yeah, I just ordered them from you today. He said, oh crap, I just mailed them to you today. So I bought one, so screw that guy.
Yeah,
who's gonna give us a free one.
Yeah,
I bought an extra one. But yeah, it's very, very cool. Awesome art. There's some really cool interviews in there. It's everything a zine should be. It's very clean and easy to read. It's not a bunch of messy garbage like a 12-year-old put together, which is how most zines
look. It's how mine would look.
It's not very punk rock. But it is punk rock with the content. And a great-looking cover. Full-color cover. Anyway. I'll throw one of those up somewhere.
With the really cool creature.
If you want the zine, send an email to pinballpodcast@gmail.com with zine in the title, and I will pick out of those for the zine.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, I love you. Prez done.
Bye.